chapter 49, heading Ill-Motivated Dhritarashtra. Akrura, thus being ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, visited Hastinapur. Hastinapur is said to be modern New Delhi, the part of New Delhi which is still known as Indraprastha, is accepted by people in general as the old capital of the Pandavas. The very name Hastinapur suggests that there were many Hastis. Hasti means elephants. Because in the capital of the Pandavas there were many elephants, it is called Hastinapur. And to keep many elephants means the kingdom must be very opulent. Because to keep elephants is very expensive job. Only the kings and royal order can keep elephants, and Hastinapur there are full of elephants, horses, chariots, and other opulences for a rich kingdom. So when Akrura reached Hastinapur, he saw the capital full of all kinds of opulences. The kings of Hastinapur were supposed to be the ruling king all over the world. Therefore, their names and fame were very widespread, and the whole kingdom was conducted under the good counsel of learned Brahmins. So Akrura, after seeing the very opulent capital city, Hastinapur, he met first of all the king, Dhritarashtra. And while meeting Dhritarashtra, he saw also the old grandfather, Bhishma, sitting with him. After meeting them, he went to see Vidura. Then Akrura saw his sister, Kunti. In this way, one after another, he saw the son of Somadatta. And along with him, he saw the king of Balli. Then he saw Dronacharya. Then he saw Kripacharya. Then he saw Karna and Suyodhana. The Suyodhana is the name of Duryodhana. Then he saw also the son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama. And then gradually he saw the five brothers, Pandavas, other friends and relatives living in the city. Akrura is known as the son of Gandhin. So whomever he met was very much pleased to receive him and inquired about the welfare of their respective relatives. Akrura was offered good seat for reception. Akrura also inquired from them about their welfare and other activities. Akrura was deputed by Lord Krishna to visit Hastinapur. It is therefore understood that he was very intelligent to study diplomatically the situation, because Dhritarashtra unlawfully occupied the throne after the death of King Pandu, although his five sons were present. Akrura wanted to study the whole situation by remaining there for a few months. He could understand very well, ill-motivated Dhritarashtra, that he was very much inclined in favor of his own sons than the Pandavas. And because he had already usurped the kingdom, he was intriguing and planning how to dispose of the five brothers known as Pandavas. He knew also that all the sons of Dhritarashtra, headed by Duryodhana, were a very crooked politician. And Dhritarashtra did not act in pursuance of good instruction given by Bhishma or Vidura, but he was being conducted by the ill instruction of such persons as Karna, Shakuni and others. Therefore, Akura decided to stay there for a few months to study the whole political situation. While staying in the city of Hastinapur, Akura gradually could learn from the topics of Kunti and Vidura that Dhritarashtra was very much intolerant and envious upon the five brothers Pandavas on account of their extraordinary features of personalities in the matter of learning the military science, developing bodily strength, acting like chivalrous heroes, and above all these good qualities of Kshatriyas, they were very much responsible princes, always thinking of the welfare of the citizens, and Dhritarashtra being envious in consultation with his ill-advised son, how he tried to kill the Pandavas by administering poison, which was most abominable, a claim by such ill-advised diplomats. Next paragraph. Akura happened to be one of the family cousin brothers of Kunti. Therefore, Kunti, after meeting him, began to inquire about her paternal relatives, and as it is very usual, she began to cry, thinking of her birthplace. She immediately began to inquire from Akura whether her father, mother, brother, sister, and brother's wife, her other friends, if they are still remembering her at home. She especially inquired about Krishna and Balaram, her glorious nephews, and inquired whether Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is very affectionate to his devotee, does remember her sons, and whether Sri Balaram also remembering them. She thought herself as if a sea deer in the midst of tigers. Actually, her position was like that. After the death of her husband, King Pandu, she was to take care of the minor children, the five Pandavas. But Dhritarashtra was always planning to kill them somewhere or other. Apparently, therefore, she was just living as a poor, innocent animal in the midst of several tigers. In devotee of Lord Krishna, she was always thinking of him and expecting that someday Krishna would come and save them from the dangerous position. Therefore, she inquired from Akura whether Krishna proposes to come there someday and would advise the fatherless Pandavas how to get out of the intriguing policy of the Dhritarashtra and his sons. While talking with Akrura about all these affairs, she felt herself too much helpless and began to exclaim, "My dear Krishna, my dear Krishna, you are the supreme mystic, you are the super soul of the universe. You are the real well-wisher of the whole universe, my dear Govinda. Although you are far away at this time from me, still I pray, triumph, surrender unto your lotus feet. Present moment I am very much aggrieved with my five fatherless sons. I can fully understand," Kunti continued to say, "that except your lotus feet, there is no other shelter for us for protection. Your lotus feet can deliver all aggrieved souls because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can be saved from the clutches of repeated birth and death by your mercy only. My dear Krishna, you are the supreme pure super soul and master of all yogis. What I can say, I can simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you from here. Accept me as your fully surrendered devotee." Next verse. By this behavior of Kunti, that although Krishna was not present before her, still she offered her prayers to him, just placing him in her presence. So this is possible for everyone, following the footsteps of Kunti. It is not that Krishna has to be present physically everywhere. He is present everywhere. By spiritual potency, one has simply to surrender unto him sincerely. Next paragraph. When Kunti was offering her prayers very feelingly to Krishna, she could not check herself and began to cry very loudly before Akrura. At that time, Vidura was also present there. So both Akrura and Vidura became very much sympathetic on Kunti Devi, mother of the Pandavas, and they began to solace her by glorifying her five sons like Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhima, and they pacified her that her sons were extraordinarily powerful, therefore she should not be perturbed about them on account of their birth of the great demigods like Jamaraj, Indra, Pavan, etc. In this way, Akrura studied the whole political situation, strange circumstances under which Kunti and her five sons were passing through. Thus, when he decided to return back, he wanted to give some good advice to Dhritarashtra, who was too much inclined favorably towards his own sons and unfavorably towards the Pandavas. And the King Dhritarashtra was sitting amongst all friends and relatives. Akrura began to address him as follows with good instructions. Akrura, first of all, addressed Dhritarashtra as Vaichitra Bija. This Vaichitra Bija means a son of Vichitra Bija. Vichitra Bija was the name of father of Dhritarashtra. Actually, Dhritarashtra was not the begotten son of
Vichitra Birja. He was begotten son of Vyasadeva. When the father is unable to beget a child, formerly there was system, Devarena Sutapatti, the brother of the husband could beget a child in the womb of the woman. That is now forbidden in this age of Kali. So Vichitra Bhujya was sarcastically addressed by Akrura as that, because he was not actually begotten by his father. He is the son of his father, Khetraja. When a child is begotten in the wife of somebody else, the child is claimed by the husband, but actually the child is not born by the husband. So this Vichitra Bhujya, this was a sarcastic remark on Dhritarashtra, that actually he was not the son of his father, and still he was claiming the throne on hereditary descendants, which he ought not have done. Pandu was the king, and in the presence of Pandu's son, the Pandavas, he should not have occupied the throne. Therefore, first of all, Akrura said that, my dear son of Vichitra Bhujya, you have unlawfully usurped the throne of the Pandavas. Therefore, you are glorifying the prestige of your parenthood in the opposite way. But whatever it may be, somehow or other, you are now on the throne. Therefore, I beg to advise you that you rule over the kingdom on moral and ethical principles. And if you do so, and try to please your subjects in that way, then your name and fame will be perpetual. Indirectly, he hinted that although you are differentially treating your nephews, the Pandavas, they happen to be your subjects, even you treat them not as the owner of the throne, even if you treat them as your subject, but still you should equally think of their welfare along with your own son. But if you do not follow these principles and act just on the opposite way, then you will be unpopular amongst your subjects. And in the next life, he will be subjected to accept Hades' condition of life. I hope, therefore, you shall treat equally your sons and the sons of Pandu on the same level. Akrura indirectly hinted that he, Dhritarashtra, would not treat the Pandavas and his sons on equal footing. Then surely there will be a fight between the two camps of cousin brothers, and as the Pandavas' cause would be right, they would come out victorious, and the sons of Dhritarashtra would be killed in the fight. This was a sort of foretelling by Akrura to Dhritarashtra. Akrura father advised Dhritarashtra that in this material world, nobody can remain as eternal companion. In other words, by chance only, we assemble together in the family, in the society, in the community, or in the nation. But at the end, because every one of us has to give up this body, we must be separated at the ultimate goal. Therefore, unnecessarily to be very much affectionate towards the members of the family, and that also unlawfully, is not evidence of nice intelligence. In plain words, Akrura hinted to Dhritarashtra that his staunch affection for the family is due to his gross ignorance of facts or his blindness towards moral principles. In the family, society, community, or nation, although we appear to be combined together, every one of us has an individual destiny. Every one of us takes birth according to individual past work. Therefore, everyone has to enjoy or suffer individually the result of his own karma. No possibility of improving one's destiny by corporate living. If somebody acquires money by illegal and irreligious principles, sometimes it so happens that a father accumulates wealth by all illegal ways, and the son takes out the money of the father, although it was hard earned by the father. It is exactly like the small fishes in the ocean eats the material body of the large and old fish. One should not therefore accumulate wealth illegally for a gratification of his family, society, community, or nation. There were many empires also developed on this principle in the past, but they are no longer existing actually on account of being squandered away by later descendants. One who does not know these subtle principles of fruitive activity and thus gives up the principles of moral and ethical laws, such persons only carries with him the result of his sinful activity, while the ill-gotten wealth and position are taken up by somebody else, he goes to the darkest region of hell's life. One should not therefore accumulate wealth more than what is allotted to him by destiny. Otherwise, he would be factually blind to his own interest, and therefore, instead of fulfilling his self-interest, he would act just in the opposite way for his own downfall. Akrura continued to say, my dear Dhritarashtra, therefore, I beg to advise you that don't be blind about the fact of this material existence. All our material conditional life, either in distress or happiness, are to be accepted as if one is in dream. And thus one should try to bring under control his mind and senses, live very peacefully for the spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness only. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, therefore, it is said that except persons who are in Krishna consciousness, all are always in disturbed condition of the mind and full of anxiety. Even those who are trying for liberation or merging into the Brahma effulgence, or the yogis who are trying to achieve perfection in mystic power, they also cannot be in peace of mind. Pure devotees of Krishna, they have no demand from Krishna. They are simply satisfied with the service. Therefore, actual peace and tranquility of the mind can be attained in perfect Krishna consciousness. Dhritarashtra, after hearing from Ukkula all these moral instructions, replied, "My dear Ukkula, you are very charitable in giving good instructions to me. But unfortunately, I cannot accept them exactly like a person who is destined to die does not utilize the effect of nectarine, although administered to him." Dhritarashtra continued to say, "I can understand that your instructions are very valuable. Unfortunately, they do not stand in my flickering mind exactly that the glittering lightning in the sky does not stand on a fixed cloud. I therefore can understand only that nobody can check the onward progress of the Supreme Will. I understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has appeared in the family of the Jodhus, and he has appeared in order to decrease the overburden load of this earth." In other words, Dhritarashtra gave hints to Ukkula that he had complete faith in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because at the same time he was very much inclined to his family members, therefore Krishna in the very near future would vanquish all the members of his family, and naturally in a helpless condition, Dhritarashtra would take shelter on the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna usually, in order to show his special favor to a particular devotee, takes away all the objects of his material affection and thus forces such devotee to be materially helpless when he has no other alternative than to accept the lotus feet of Krishna. Actually, this happened to Dhritarashtra after the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. Dhritarashtra could realize two opposite factors acting before him. One thing is that he could understand that Krishna was there to move away all the unnecessary burden of the world. Therefore, his sons also were unnecessary burden, and he expected that they would be killed. At the same time, from his mind, he could not withdraw unlawful affection for his son. So understanding these two contradictory factors, he began to offer his respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the contradictory waves of material existence are very difficult to understand, but it can be adjusted only as inconceivable execution of the plan of the Supreme, who by his inconceivable energy creates this material world, enters into it, and then sets into action the three material modes of nature, and when everything is created, he enters in each and every one of them, including the smallest atoms. So nobody can understand the incalculable plans of the Supreme Lord. After hearing the statement of Dhritarashtra, Ukkula could very distinctly understand that Dhritarashtra was not going to change his policy of discrimination between his sons and the Pandavas. So without staying any more in Hastinapur, he took leave from the friends
and returned to his place in the kingdom of the Jodhus. And after returning home, he informed Lord Krishna and Balaram the actual situation in Hastinapur and the intention of Dhritarashtra very vividly. Akura was actually sent to Hastinapur by Krishna to study the situation, and he was, by the grace of the Lord, successful to inform Krishna about the actual situation. Next paragraph. Thus ends the 49th chapter in the matter of ill-motivated Dhritarashtra.